This is the In This League Fantasy Podcast Network. In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Online at inthisleague.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Interact and follow the show on Twitter at InThisLeaguePod. Now, here's your hosts, Bogman and the Welsh.
Welcome, friendos, to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the Welsh and Bogman. It's the Welsh and Bogman Show, as Eno would call it. It is In This League. It is baseball. We are here, and we got a whole bunch for you today. We are going to be talking about the last 30 days and where players are at. We're going to be talking about all your waivers, your pickups, the latest news, and me and Josh Naylor share a thing, and it's not our weight. It's that we both had relatively gruesome injuries this weekend.
You guys might be tied together because you both lost weight at the same time too. Because remember, when we saw Josh Naylor, he looked like an offensive lineman. I was going, Jesus, this boy is big.
Yeah, you know? he was Fat Odell.
Right. Yeah, he was. He looked like Fat Odell Beckham. And then he trimmed up before the season. You trimmed up before the season,
and then
too.
We both kind of gained, I gained a little bit of it back. And then we both got hurt. The difference is I did not look at his. And Josh Naylor, I was about to call him Josh Grissom for whatever reason. That was just where my brain was going. It's in all the different places. Let me get what the actual word was, because it's one of those like words where you hear it and you're like, oh yeah, here it is. He goes, Naylor was diagnosed with a closed fracture and dislocation of his right ankle.
I'm sure that's positive. I'm sure a closed fracture is better than a regular fracture.
Yeah, I don't understand. They're planning surgery with like how bad that is. Didn't he immediately have surgery? They said there's no timetable. It's going to be forever. But he had a gruesome one.
I think they only do immediate surgery on broken bones if they're come out of the skin. Yeah.
Oh, so a closed fracture probably means not breaking the skin.
Yeah, no punctures. Right.
Yeah, if you're going through that. I did not see it, so I can only go off of things people are saying. Have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Will you watch it right now for me?
Sure, I'll watch it. Yeah.
You'll watch it? Okay.
I don't get queasy at this stuff.
You know what was funny? I was talking with Miles Nelson over at Pitcherless. We both got to hang out. He came out in Phoenix. We were talking, and he was like, he was complimenting our show. But don't watch it yet if you're watching it.
I'm not.
And he was like complimenting our show while also like busting balls. He was like, yeah, he's like, I love what you guys do. Blah, blah. He's like, yeah, I was listening to this episode and you guys started to like describe something. And I'm just like, what the hell am I supposed to do with you guys describing? So he's totally slamming what we're doing. And then he's like, but you guys made it really interesting. He's like, I followed even though I couldn't see, but I'm like, who the hell just talks about something in a podcast that we can't see. And I'm like, thanks, Miles.
Yeah.
But that's what we're going to do now.
All the blind listeners to us, we're wordsmiths. That's
I will right. not watch this, but you are going to watch this for me. So this is Josh. So you describe what happens. Okay, and if you describe it too bad, I'm going to take my headphones off.
All right. So, I mean, you have to find it and play it on here since you're doing
it. I'm not fine. No. It's not coming up on the screen at all.
Like, all right. Well, I thought you were going to find it. So.
No.
I thought you were setting it up. I thought that's what you were rambling on for. You're just rambling to ramble here. No, I'm
looking
at it.
Rambling.
I'm looking at it. Okay.
There's no chance because I'll come across this. Wow. I'll come across a screenshot.
Oh, okay. So this is what happens. He's going after a ball in the outfield. So is an infielder. They collide. He gets hit for some reason. I think because he... He was on one foot. The other guy was on both feet, or just the way that they hit. He does a John Elway spin in the air, right? And he lands directly on his ankle.
Oh.
And then, but it looks like he's going to be okay, but he comes back, like all of his weight comes back. And you can see his ankle kind of, you know, do one of these.
Nope.
So anyway, that is it's not great. It's not bad. I mean, you don't see bone pop.
So it's not Kevin Ware.
Yeah, it ain't Kevin Ware. Not even close. But someone you can tell he is like it broke.
Someone described it in like a Kevin Ware type of thing. And I was like, nope.
Well, you know, it's broke. It's not one of those where you see someone like, you know, someone gets hit by a pitch and they're hurting, like Jose Abreu yesterday got hit by a pitch and he's down and screaming. He's hurting, but you don't see anything broken. You know, his ankle's broken.
It's like, not like Kevin Pillar.
It's floppy. It's a little floppy.
You know? Oh, floppy. That's the worst word for broken things. Floppy. Well, you're probably asking, what was the connection? Well, yesterday, great weekend, by the way, good solid weekend of stuff going on. Everything was fine.
Looks like runner outside because the whole world's on fire.
Yeah, I mean, the world's on fire and stuff, but like all horrible things that happen, it starts with your wife making you do stuff. And my wife is like, hey, can you get the sheets out of the dryer? And I'm like, oh, fine. And if you followed ITL in the last 18 months in the current house that I'm in, I have in the same place in my house kicked this like banister on a bottom of a wall and broken my toe. And I did it like twice in like a 2 week span. And then I did it another time and I've kind of been down and out. And it happened again in the exact same spot on my, the exact same toe, the exact same location in the house. It instantly went numb. It was kind of going the wrong direction. It was a little floppy. I was kind of freaking out a little bit. And my whole foot is bruised too. I didn't realize that till this morning. About, not my whole foot, but about 40% of my foot is a bruise right now. And I'm supposed to be heading to San Diego on Thursday.
Does it hurt to walk? Like, are you going to need like a boot or something?
It doesn't. That's the weirdest thing. Is it, it hurts less than it ever has, except it's bruised. There's a little bone poking in a place it probably shouldn't be. So I don't know what happened. I'm not.
It doesn't hurt. That it either means it's not that bad or the nerve damage is so bad that it's not going to matter anyway, because you're going to have that whole thing removed. So
don't say that.
Oh, I'm just with you, dude. I'm not being for real.
God, you scared me.
No, I'm not being. I'm not a doctor.
Am I going to lose it? If I don't use it, will I lose it?
I'm just making stuff up to screw with you. Please don't take me seriously.
If I don't use it, will I lose it?
I don't know. I don't know Steve Carell from the 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Should I be stretching it out and trying to do? What's the nervous Nelly about injury type of stuff? And I'm also I don't like going.
We just called him, but yeah, that's
yeah. Well, I don't like going to the hospital also for things, because that would be the thing. If you were really terrified, you'd go to the hospital. Yeah. I'm not going to do that. You're being really mean in today's episode. I just want you to know that. By the way,
screwing with you, like I can't believe you take me seriously at all. What the hell do I know about anything?
You called me a pee. Medical stuff. You called me a pee, and then you said I was going to lose my toe. You're quite mean, sir.
I do the same stuff. Well, it's the same thing. You know, I have my busted tooth. You're like, yeah, if you don't do it, they'll probably just have to remove your jaw. I bet you don't remember saying that.
There's no way. You're so cussing. Why are you cussing so much?
I'm sorry.
What are we on the phone? We're just hanging out. Like, this is a goddamn episode. I got to edit here. Good Lord. So Josh Naylor, he's done for the season. And I think Ernie Clement is getting some of the run time. And that actually is a good sign.
That's who we ran into was Clement.
Oh, okay. Well, Bobby Bradley. This is going to be good for Bobby Bradley just to continue to roll out and get playing time for the year. And he was kind of on a good little roll. And I also think someone to be on the lookout for in the interim, and this is somebody that I picked up, I'll just throw this out to you guys, is Andres Jimenez. And I would be on the lookout for Andres Jimenez to get back up, because Jimenez had like a horrific run, you know, early on in the majors. I think, yeah, he hit 179 this year in 29 games. Yeah, it's unbelievable looking at his numbers. He had a 3% walk rate. And a 226 OBP, two homers, a couple stolen bases. But in AAA, he's been kind of balling out. He just, Boggs, I don't know if you know, he just went on a seven straight game home run streak he was on.
I'm sorry, I missed
Andre, yeah, you're too busy cussing at me.
I was marking times for you.
Looking up what limbs I'm going to lose because I broke them.
Who was it again?
This is Andres Jimenez.
Oh, Jimenez. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Andre, yeah. He had seven straight games with a home run in the month of June.
How do you not get promoted after that? I mean, the guy's been a big leaguer before.
Well, I'll tell you.
Bring him back up.
He's hitting 281 in June in AAA, three stolen bases, eight homers, and he had those seven. Yeah, let's see. One, two, three, four, five, six. Oh, I guess it was six straight games And then, oh, you know, yeah, six straight games. And then he had another homer after. So whatever it was, six straight games with a home run, hitting 280. He's got stolen bases. The reason he might not still be up is his walk percentage has always been poor. It's like 5. K is low, but it's higher than in previous years. It's around just under 25%. But I'm saying with Naylor down, by the time you're listening to this, maybe something's changed. I think this is a guy that's going to be back up soon and going to be able to probably get some run. And I picked him up in TGFBI as a pre. I haven't been crazy about preemptive moves. This was a preemptive pickup for me. So I'd be on the lookout for Andrés Giménez, who 6 straight games with a damn homer in AAA is relatively impressive. He's up to 8 with 3 stolen bases in only 33 games in AAA. So hopefully not a quad A player. I don't think so. I think he'll get back to it because he was always like a really good contact hitter. So
yeah, you can't make preemptive pickups, right, Welsh? Because all these minor league guys that come up and make their debut suck. Wander Franco sucks. He's terrible. Had one good game and he's awful now. Just send him back down. Him and Jared Kelnick belong in hell, not in the big. Right?
Are you doing a group me impression of our baseball room? anytime it talks about Wander, I mean, okay. So that's definitely on Doc. Obviously, we're gonna talk. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about, but let's talk about Wander Franco here. And Wander is not someone that can replace me, by the way. And luckily, there is no replacement for me. No Andrés Giménez for my toe. I'll be okay. Thank you for asking and wondering. Not Bogman. Everybody else. Wander Franco has sucked lots of D early on. Early on. And I got to tell you, I just don't know why you in the group me room, you on Twitter, you playing fantasy baseball are like super surprised. Like, I don't get what all of your guys is like chaotic, like hate it. You should understand this. Like this is what happens with these guys. Is it a little bit more than we want? Yeah. I'm still going to go back to what Council said. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, it's the biggest jump ever. It's a big, crazy jump and throw on top of it. Like guys using sticky, guys not using sticky. Baseball in general and play calling is a little bit different. A lot of pressure on balls and strikes. And there's just so much going on with it. A lot more analytical defense and stuff like that. Like, we want to sit here and tell you all these rookies that are going to be amazing. Wander Franco is an amazing talent. We don't need to every time a number one prospect comes up and struggles. Do we really need to remind everybody about Mike Trout every single time? Do we have to do that? Do we have to do that every single goddamn time it happens? It's not always going to be a one for one, but like no matter what, I'm going to bet on the high end guys. I'm still going to bet on anybody. It's Wander Franco rest of year, but you should be prepared for this stuff. And unfortunately, I thought it was only going to be Kelnick who went through the crazy one, but Wander just went through an 0-for-17 skid, and then I think it added up to, I don't know if it was 0-for-19, but he got a hit finally after multiple games. He got a single. He finally got a hit off a goddamn fastball, Boggs. Look at that.
No, look at that.
One hit off a fastball, but he's hitting, you know, .130-something right now. He's got just over just under a 300 OBP. Yeah, here it is, 136. 296 OBP because he did walk in the previous game. And I just don't think it's anything to go nuts about. Maybe bench him for a little bit, but he's got a sub 20K rate. He has the exact same walk to strikeout rate, 18.5% in his little amount of games. A homer, a stolen base. It's the adjustment to baseball. Sorry that these guys don't go out balling, but it is what it is. And I know a lot of guys get annoyed. That's the other thing. It's like people only want negativity right now. They want to hear when Wander sucks. They want everyone to be like, yeah, Wander sucks. Anybody who liked him, they're wrong. Same thing with Kelnick. It is what it is. I would bench Wander for a little bit. I think he's going to get right. I think he'll get right much quicker than Jared Kelnick is. Kelnick had a strikeout problem also, and that's not something Wander has. There's a lot of pitch adjustments and, you know, he got a hit off a fastball. That's great. He's seeing a little bit more off speed, which he doesn't have a hit off of. And it's about 62% fastballs, which that has been his crutch. He's a fastball hitter and he has not hit them. It will get better. And Wander, I'll say this. This is a prediction, Bugs. Maybe this is just me hedging and holding on to dear God hope, but I don't think Wander will go through the Kelnick. I predict he will not be sent down. He will not struggle bus it for the extended period of time that Kelnick did where they send him back down and get right again. I think Wander gets right this week. I believe in the hit tool as far as that goes. There's just not enough data to go with it, but the Geisbogs, yeah. They've got the background. They've got Kelnick as a backdrop to bitch and complain.
Well,
and
I think that's the big thing of why the pissing and moaning is happening is because of we just saw, you know, a major prospect come up and absolutely eat S and have to be sent back down. And that has to that creeps in people's heads. You know, it's the overreaction to everything, right? So if Kelnick would have come up and gone crazy, then everyone would be expecting Wander Franco to come up and go crazy. Yeah. He came up and was terrible. So now that Franco hits a bump in the road, you know, he's terrible to people. And, I understand the trepidation of, you know, redraft and all that stuff. So, cause now maybe it's harder to trade him because he's a rookie and he, you know, came out and is not playing well and all
that
stuff.
We also said the trade time was immediately. It was immediately in redraft.
Yeah. I mean but that's what we always say. And it hasn't changed, you know, and it wouldn't change if Wander Franco was the best player in baseball for the week that he came up. The best time to trade that guy is right when he gets called up, because that's when all the buzz is on him. I'm just upset that I didn't immediately sell that helmet, because now he's obviously terrible and I'm never going to get any money. John G did say, all right, 250, right?
As now he's going to hit you up and he's going to be like 175.
I'm pretty sure if you wait me out, you'll get a small Kia. Yeah. So like we were talking about on the radio. So
Wander will be fine. And I know the negative people, is hilarious me saying it, the negative people don't want to hear that. Wander will be fine. I think he gets fine this week. Maybe I'll be wrong. It's rookies. I think it's tougher because unlike last year, rookies came out bawling. You know, Luis Robert, Kyle Lewis, they came out bawling. And it's not happening so much this year. It's been guys that have had a little bit, you know, the guys that are really bawling out are the guys that had a little bit of experience and run last year, like the Brian Hayes's and, you know, Andrew Vaughn's trying to get right and stuff like that. The pitchers, you know, some of the younger pitchers have actually had more success. There's an adjustment period. Kelnick, though, has been he's been doing some stuff. He had a two homer game, picking up his average, but it's still like sub 250. And I imagine it's going to be post All-Star game and whatever happens with the futures game. That'll be up there. But Wander Mania is on a whole new level right now because of the struggles. I'll buy him. I mean, if someone was selling him cheap in redraft, I'd be interested now. And Dynasty, it's such a good Dynasty time to go and poke around, because he had that, he had like 1-for-19 or 1-for-20 little run he's been on, and people just get the recency in their mind.
I think if he does get sent down, that's the absolute best time to buy.
I don't believe that happens with him.
I don't think it does either, but like you have to admit, right now is the best time to buy on Kelnick. It is,
because it's a great time.
He's eating up a roster spot on a lot of people's rosters because they can't get rid of him. You know, sometimes you have minor league and NA spots in your league, but sometimes you don't, and you just have to carry that guy. So if he's just eating up a roster spot and you're out of it, you should be doing everything you can to go get him right now.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point, man. It is a very, very good point. And, you know, I think it probably fell apart, because in the last episode we had talked about, I would love to have seen what the Wander trades look like. And I don't know if you looked at the ball bag. We can look at it maybe towards the end of the episode if we got any. But the Wander trades probably kind of fell apart because of the struggle. You know, it would have had to have happened day of or off of the homer, because then he started, you know, 0-for-4. Then he had the 3 strikeout game. First 3 strikeout game of his professional career. That's also something I would sit on. Sit on that for a minute. In his career, in his professional career, and all the minors, he never struck out 3 times. Like it shows you the acumen of the type of hitter he is, and he is still adjusting. Unlike my toe, he will be all right.
He'll straighten out, right?
He will straighten.
your toe is crooked forever, but Wander is he'll get straightened out.
Wander's not broken.
Yeah, he'll there's no nerve damage for him. He's fine. So
he will be totally fine. And I mean, I'd like I said, I'm holding it in that I think it happens this week. I think he can get right. As there's a lot of like minor league stuff going on, by the way. Julio Rodriguez got the call up to AA, and the AZL is starting up, which I don't know if you know. Jason Dominguez, first, it already has happened. First professional at bats, and like 0-for-3, and he had like a strikeout. So, you know, sell it.
You're not allowed in those, right? They've got like
Florida.
Oh, those are in Florida. Well, you just said the ACL. But.
Well, ACL and GCL started up today. Okay. Sorry. Yeah, gotcha. Rookie complex level. The GCL stuff was this morning, and ACL is tonight. And I'm probably going to miss it now due to my broken toe. I was going to go see
you. Too bad, Florida. I mean, you know, Florida's just like, yeah, go sit wherever you want. You know, we'll give you the hotel room right next to Jason.
Want a drink?
If you want. Right.
Yeah, want a drink? Yeah.
And Arizona's like, well, we won't give you his hotel room, but we'll tell you where he's staying. You know, that's what Arizona is.
Do you know at the White Sox complex right now, Eloy and Robert are here?
Oh, wow. Really?
I just want to be there. And someone was telling me,
go buy some helmets.
Robert's out here with his Lambo. He has a Lambo that he rolls around in. I'm dying to go over there and see the Lambo.
I mean, this dude's just going to be so broke. I mean, come on.
I mean, all the money they got. Man? I mean, you buy one Lambo.
No.
Did you have one Lambo?
Right. But you're going to bring your Lambo to Arizona, or does he live here? Like, if he lives here, okay, maybe drive your Lambo around. I mean, I've seen plenty of them. I live in Scottsdale, right? But it's just kind of crazy if he lives anywhere else, especially overseas, and he brings his Lambo to
Arizona.
I'll bet
you he had one of those trucks deliver his Lambo. Since he was going to be here for a couple months, he definitely had his Lambo delivered. Let's go. Should we go Lambo hunting? Robert Lambo hunting?
I mean,
let's go find it.
Nothing sounds worse to me than Lambo hunting. I mean, I would rather stand out in the heat and watch a 16-year-old hit baseballs than go Lambo hunting.
I mean, that would actually be a part of the Lambo. We'd have to do this.
I would rather do that and not go Lambo hunting. Let's do that instead.
Okay. So. Well, you tell us, are you freaking out with Wander? I mean, you already are telling us. We see all your negativity, and it is so tiresome, by the way, with all of that. Most negative prospect stuff ever has been this season, and all of you are so tired with it. All I pray, you know what? I, even as a prospect guy, even if I'm wrong about guys, if there's someone I don't like, I want them all to come up and I want them to be amazing. I want them to shut every one of you up. I want Boehm
you want
to
them
start
all
getting
to be
400.
Aquino from last year. Remember when people were trading for Aquino in Dynasty last year? And I mean, it's just, you gotta look at the long-term picture, not what is happening right now. So,
yeah, it's an interesting time, but it is a great time to acquire prospects. It's never been a better time to acquire Franco and Kelnick, and I would definitely look at doing so. And if you want a little bit of a catch-up and a figure out on the values, you can come and check me out and Bogman out at patreon.com/ITL Army if you want to support your boys. We've got the GroupMe rooms, which hopefully you don't use for all the negativity, like come and have some fun. We're into the fun,
right.
But there's a prospect room. There's a baseball room. There's tons of others and other things. We've got my top 500 list and dynasty list, which is going to be updated right at the beginning of June. And I may have it because I'm gone the first couple days of June in San Diego that I might.
July.
July. It's not that it is currently June. That is July that I might try to have it a little bit sooner. But the top 500 list and the dynasty list updated. Also, the draft is a couple weeks away. We're going to have some updates on that. Plus, you got the secret shows, live streams, getting in on the video, whatever it is. Be a part of the audio universe that is in this league and support your boys. We deeply appreciate it. And July is a big month. You know, football is picking up. There's a lot of baseball stuff. I'll be doing a stream for the live draft, the MLB draft. And I've got another one of our break events. So come and sign up and have so much fun. Patreon.com/ITL. Army. Hector Santiago might need to set up a Patreon because he's going to be paying some money. Maybe because he was, if you set your bets, Hector Santiago, the first major league pitcher to get the kick ass out of the game for using sticky stuff. But apparently it's going to be another egg on the face of baseball because they are like, no, it was just rosin and like some sweat or whatever. That obviously, like, Bauer showed us you could take rosin and sweat and you could stick the ball. Maybe he gathered it up, but Scott Servais and everybody was like, no, you're wrong. This is wrong. And baseball's going to see it. And it's going to be a real big kick in the butt for baseball if they are wrong and they booted a player from it. And it's going to show how hilariously stupid this whole thing is becoming.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm buying that. I think that they're
think
probably
he was using some business.
Yeah, I think he at least put some sunscreen on, right? Because
he had the balls to, like, after all this, he's just like, screw it. I'm going to do it.
I mean, he'd already been checked twice, I think. So this was the third check. Maybe he thought he wasn't going to get checked again.
I have a conspiracy theory for you, but go ahead.
Okay. Also, I love just the absolute professionalism of baseball, of taking this glove and putting it right into a Glad Lemon tall kitchen bag instead of like an official bag or anything. They just scrammed it right. It might as well have been an old Safeway bag that was stuffed underneath someone's sink or something.
They're like paper, like, or plastic.
We're going to send this away. Yeah. Thanks for the official bag, MLB. Way to be ready for everything. But I don't know. I think even if there's nothing, they're going to say there were trace amounts of sunscreen and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't get suspended. I hope not. But my gif was like, wow, MLB found something. And it was the gif of Steve Carell in the office spraying down Aaron with champagne in his office, like just celebrating nothing. You know, it's just so stupid.
So my conspiracy theory is Hector Santiago is well known as like a hardcore memorabilia guy. He like gets jersey. He's one of the guys that'll get like, you know, autographs from players. He collects jerseys like crazy. My conspiracy is he wanted to be the first
so he could have the glove,
his glove be the first to be taken out and inspected, and he would have a piece of MLB history.
Well, here's the thing though. There's no way that glove is going to be worth more money than the fine and all of the 10 days of salary he misses because of it, because he's suspended without pay for 10 days.
It is with pay.
Is it with pay?
Are you sure? Absolutely. It is with pay.
I still don't. Okay. Well, what's the fine?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is it 50 grand? Is that glove going to be worth more than 50 grand?
I don't know. Maybe to him. Maybe.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I like the idea that there's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, don't ruin my conspiracy.
It sounds better than MLB just grabbing a glove and jamming it into a kitchen bag. You know, it's just so
exactly
absurd.
Were you starting to describe? Yeah. That's starting to worry me. You're like, jam it in there and just shove it and spit on it. And all right. But Hector Santiago, that he had a great look on his face. The whole he did the
Joe Kelly, like, you know, lip quiver thing. That was
funny. It was interesting. But baseball, hilariously ridiculous still. All right. News and notes. Diamondback front. They're the worst team in baseball. It's embarrassing to be a fan. Someone tweeted us, and they were like, just in solidarity of just like, it's got to be tough. And it's like, no, it's really difficult. Like, it's super hard to be a Diamondbacks fan. More so, Ketel Marte, he came back and he's gone. He was back and then gone.
I'm just waiting for them to put him on the IL. I have him in a couple spots. They're going to do an MRI today. He came back and this is.
And gone.
Yeah, and immediately gone. He hit what should have been a double. He rounded first, went back to first because his hamstring tightened up on him after he hurt it again the other day. Like, he wasn't out long enough the first time, obviously. I mean, we even saw, like, Nolan doesn't watch baseball that much. And we went to the baseball game with Nolan, and he was like, why isn't this guy busting it out of the box? What's his issue? And I said, well, he tore his hamstring earlier in the year. I bet that's what it is. Like, you know, so if someone who doesn't pay attention to what's happening that often can't see that he's struggling to run in a game, you know, it's obvious that he ain't 100%. So everyone in there should know that he's not 100%. So why did you let him go back out there after he hurt himself the other day? It's just dumb.
I hope it's severe. I hope it's severe from a selfish. Yes, I do. And here's why. You're going to understand my logic. I hope it's super severe so they can't trade him. I love Ketel Marte. He's my favorite player, and I don't want them to trade him. And a lot of people understand that this hurt the trade value. From a fantasy perspective, he's just been a huge disappointment. I know guys like me and Eno were really big on him, and I think even Nick, I think Pollock was pretty big on him, and it's just been a failure because the Diamondbacks have been a failure. But he was a prime trade candidate, and I hope he is hurt so they can't trade him, because with what could anytime. I mean, there's not a whole lot of in between when we record this to when this airs, luckily, but by the time you're listening to this or very close after, Eduardo Escobar looks like he's going to become a White Sox.
Yeah.
And did you see Bob Nightingale's tweet yesterday? It was super weird. I mean, it's a classic Bob Nightingale stuff. Like, nobody is worse.
So it's just made up.
I just wonder sometimes, is he gotten to the point where he's trolling himself? Like, is he in on the troll of how bad he is with everything he does? But he sent, this is his tweet. Here you go. So again, this is on Saturday, Boggs.
Okay.
Eduardo Escobar, 4-for-5 with a double and a homer and 5 RBIs. And soon on his way from the Diamondbacks to the White Sox, is about to end the Diamondbacks streak. He did this on Saturday, and everyone's like, whoa, like out of left field. Everyone's like, whoa, dude, what do you mean he's on to the White Sox? Well, no reporting that they're talking, no close, just he's about to be a White Sox. And everyone's like, what kind of journalism or reporting are you even doing right now? But then
I think that's him being a fan and being like how you and I would say, you know, hey, this guy's I hope he's going to be great on the White Sox. I think it's kind of sarcasm and stuff like that.
But I don't think it is sarcasm. He literally said on his way to the White Sox.
No, I think Saturday. I think it is not completely sarcasm, but like, oh, yeah, this guy's doing real great, but he's going to be a White Sox soon. But you can't have tweets like that when you're a national reporter. That
yeah, dummies like you and I can trades. Do that.
Yes,
we can do that. Yeah that's you're my right. whole you're point. Right.
Is yeah, you're right. I think he's trying to be a dumb fan, and you don't get to be a dumb fan when you actually report real news. So
doing a great job at one of those things, for sure.
Being a dumb fan.
Yeah, being dumb. So Eduardo Escobar looks like he's about to be moved. So, you know, lock in your AL, NL concerns that are going to happen. Eduardo Escobar most likely coming off the team. It's just going to shore up more time for the same dudes. You know, Josh Rojas, there's just going to be no questions whatsoever. I wonder if the Diamondbacks are going to bring up Seth Beer soon. Eduardo doesn't open up a spot. That's the problem here is Eduardo opens up no spot for Seth Beer. It would have to be just kind of positional stuff. But Beer, he was near
the
league.
Well, they could trade Walker, too. And I apologize if you can hear the leaf blowers. They're like right outside my window.
Actually, can now. Yeah. But they could also trade Peralta. Like, he might come up when Peralta, because he can play the outfield. Peralta, Walker. But he's a first, like, left fielder, maybe right fielder, whatever. So Eduardo doesn't open that up. But Beer should be up soon. Because Beer has been dominating AAA. He's hitting tons of doubles. He looks, like, kind of locked in. He'd be a guy that you could look to stash if you're looking for a middle of the order bopper, because here's the unique thing about the Diamondbacks. Anyone that comes up has a chance to hit really high in the order. And a guy like Seth Beer has a chance to hit 4 or 5 to start and then even continuously move up. But Eduardo's gone. Good riddance. Fine. Beat it. Who needs you? I'm sorry.
I
mean,
I loved him for a while he was here. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm so scared of being alone. I'm scared of being a nobody.
Being a team without you, baby.
I want to kiss you all over and over and again.
I love that. That's the line of all the movies that you have memorized 100%.
To the night closes.
Yeah, till the night closes.
I can't successfully run a line in a movie like Bogman can, but that is maybe the one is the intercom scene of Happy Gilmore. I do remember that one. Yeah, I'll miss him, but he's going to be a White Sox, and it's going to happen soon, according to Bob Nightingale.
They got Fogo to Chow in Chicago, so he'll still have his power. He'll be fine.
Padres also looking at Dan Duffy. So we're kind of in like a month away from the trade deadline, and you're going to start seeing some guys go. Eduardo will be probably the first
crappy
year.
Teams are in rumors. The good teams are in rumors. That's kind of how it starts.
Also shows you how much the Padres do not have future plans for Mackenzie Gore, dude. No plans for Mackenzie Gore. Like they are manipulating Ryan Weathers a little bit, who's been pretty awesome. And then they're looking at just acquiring just another arm. I mean, Mackenzie Gore, any thing he does this year is going to be in the bullpen. He is so unbelievably droppable. If you're counting on him for like spot starts, there's no reason to be holding on to him. And his dynasty value just continues to plummet.
Does that kind of tell you where pitching is as far as the minor leagues go? Because I know you and Cross were talking about on Prospect One the last time he was on, where you're like, all right, who's your best pitching prospect? And he was like, well, it's still Gore, you know, but that's kind of just where it's at. But this draft should have should bring us some pitching, right? And the next draft after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just a big clump. There's a big clump of dudes. I mean, my dude, you know, it looked a little dicey, but my Logan Gilbert, I mean, I said I thought Logan Gilbert was near the top, if not one of the best pitchers in minor league baseball, and his first start wasn't good. He has settled down and looked good. He has been good. Yeah. Noah's been good, but it's a big clump of guys. Sixto Sanchez has started throwing a little bit, so he's kind of back at that. So there's a big clump at the top. Grayson Rodriguez is in there. Then there's this secondary tier that Gore sits in, but there is no clear-cut guys. And the draft with Jack Leiter, the Vandy dudes, Leiter and Kumar, they're not going to jump into that top tier. You know, maybe Leiter jumps in the back of the bottom tier.
I almost made the biggest smart-ass comment when you were drafting for the Diamondbacks. I was going to be like, well, they'll have no idea what to do because you'll make good picks. They'll be like, well, we're clearly not going to make this pick, obviously.
Yeah, well, last year I was doing good stuff. I actually had the Diamondbacks taking, I think it was in the compensatory pick, I had them taking Carson Tucker, who's Cole Tucker's brother. And Cole was responding on Twitter. He was like, this is great. He's like, this is a smart owner. And I'm like, I know. And the Diamondbacks did not do that. And I did a Prospects Live, had a live 2-round mock draft for the MLB draft. And I drafted for the Diamondbacks and I took them Kumar Rocker because it's a real life thing. It's not who I would take in fantasy, which, by the way, on the last prospect one, I did a whole bunch of stuff in the episode. But the back end was I gave you the top, my top 12 draft guys for first year player drafts. And then I also did debates around them and I pooled the industry. I got industry guys to kind of create a voting system for it. It's a really unique thing that I did with it that I think you'll enjoy if you want to check it out. But like, you know, I like Khalil Watson and I would have loved to take him there, but I think the Diamondbacks would be better taking Kumar Rocker. So yeah, Diamondbacks don't know what they're doing. They're going to trade guys. Padres, Mackenzie Gore, he's out of it, and he is just entering this huge clump of guys where there is no elite players whatsoever. Some other news and notes. Bryce Harper left Saturday's game with a calf strain, did not play Sunday. Damn it. Jose Abreu left after getting struck on the knee with a pitch on Sunday. F.
I mean, that one looked bad. He was down on the ground grabbing it and everything. So
I don't like
what's going on with him.
Jesse Winker left Saturday's game with a hip contusion and was out Sunday. G's and D's.
And I mean, come on, weekends are for Winker. Winker weekends, you know. So that it really sucks that he was out. He did hit a homer on Friday, though. So
is there a shirt? I mean, that's a great shirt. Weekend
Winker Winker weekday Winker, weekends.
Winkers for the weekends. I mean, it's kind of a playoff of like the Saturdays are for the boys type of thing. Weekends are for Winker. Winker right. Weekends, something like that.
It also could be insanely disgusting. So
oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's your mind. That's yeah, that's well, where you're I going. Know. It's a hub.
I know.
Colton Wong left Saturday's game with a calf strain. Also did not play Sunday, so everyone's getting hurt. On a good piece of news, Chris Sale threw to live hitters on Saturday at Fenway. He's going to throw against hitters one more time before starting a rehab assignment. So if you're looking at like legit timeline, probably after the All-Star break, you could see Sale. It's a possibility because, you know, if he throws, let's say this week, and then he starts on a rehab, you come out after. I don't know what type of innings would be out there. I was never interested in drafting Sale.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
that game, but
you there, and you know, they're going to absolutely baby him. So he probably has an innings limit as far as
except
the minors plus.
The Red Sox are really competing though. That's the only.
Yeah, they're right in the thick of it. So you might be right there. But that honestly to me would make it worse for Sale for fantasy, right? Because if they're going to really, really baby him and maybe want him to pitch in the playoffs should they get there, then they're not going to let him. They're going to skip starts in the regular season and hold him off until the playoffs
or
to get him involved there.
What if they went back to an opener situation with him? I could see
they
that
They definitely
happening.
Could do that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility where he's like a three-inning guy so they can have heavy use in the playoffs because it's no joke. The other injury front before we get to taking a look at some of the big performers over the last 30, Victor Robles, day-to-day with a knee bruise, Denelson Lamet, back on the IO with a forearm inflammation, disappointment, huge disappointment here. Willie Calhoun, IO with a fractured forearm. God dang, that dude is made of glass and just bad luck. Michael Fulmer to the IL. Tommy La Stella fractured his thumb during a rehab assignment. Awesome. And Zach Britton on the IO with a hamstring strain. So the one thing, you know, I know we get very focused on what's happening now. And it's like at the end of the day, maybe this is always going on. But like the injuries are just never stopping. They're not even coming remotely close to stopping. They're just piling on top of each other left and right. And
it's
also
just going to be historically the worst year for injuries. Hopefully next year it's not as bad. You know, we'll be 2 years removed from COVID and full spring training for everyone and all that stuff. So hopefully next year won't be as bad, but this year it's just rough.
Yeah.
Ooh, Captain agrees. Yeah.
Captain, did you hear how loud Captain was on that? Captain was like,
"Yeah, and I don't know
injuries.
What he's doing." Yeah. And he just jumps up here. I don't know why the wine, Cap.
Well, Captain, one shout out, speaking of injuries, things that we kind of predicted on, not that it's a big, it matters at all, but I think we did on the radio, Fernando Tatis Jr. out of the All-Star Home Run Derby due to the shoulder, which we talked about. And what was in place? Trevor Story, hometown
you
boy.
You said Ryan McMahon, but you got it right.
Oh, I did say Ryan McMahon. Yeah. You're right about that. It was Trevor Story. You're right about that. We did get a call.
I mean, Trevor Story's better than Ryan McMahon. I would much rather see him, but, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, to each his own. All right, quick break. Let's come back. We'll take a look at some of the big performers over the last 30. It's more of the over-month look right here on ITL.
Hey,
in this league.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Huh?
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
Look at us.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Not me.
The number one player over the last month has a shoulder issue, but he's not going to test it because he's been so good. Fernando Tatis Jr. Boggs, last 30 days, just not to get convoluted. People are looking at the month of June. Last 30 days, Fernando Tatis Jr., 11 homers, 4 stolen bases, has continued to roll. Do you feel a little, remember like 2 months ago when you're like, yeah, I'm selling off on Tatis for 85 cents on the dollar because he's a loser and he's hurt and I hate him and everything. Do you feel bad about that now? Do you feel bad about yourself?
No, I don't. Because no. If you traded Fernando Tatis Jr. and you didn't get back another big piece and something else you needed, it's a bad move still. And I still did say that. And let's not forget, he's not doing the home run derby. He has missed a couple games.
That does count
there
for fantasy.
So,
right.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Thank you. Thank you. You're like me pointing out the war to people in leagues. What I'm saying is that it's clearly still bothering him. So being in many, many head-to-head leagues like I am, it wasn't for this stretch that I wanted to trade him. It was for the back stretch where if he's not playing in the playoffs, what's the point? You know, it's kind of like, it's the Apollo 13 thing, man. You know, well, we got to get rid of something to be able to fire up these engines, the parachutes. And they go, well, if the parachutes don't go off, John, what is the point of doing this whole thing? That's my whole point there is, you know, head to head leagues. If you're in Roto, keep him. He's fine. He's putting you up exactly what you need all the time. But in head to head, he just might not be there at the end of the year. That's my concern.
Dare I ask you, would you trade away Fernando Tatis Jr. right now as the number one player in baseball?
I still would. Yeah.
Uh-huh,
I still would trade him. Look, I'm not going to just trade him to trade him. You have to get an enormous piece back and something that's missing from your team. So if that means, you know,
size matter though,
a big time player and two closers, a big time player and a starting pitcher that's also really good that you need, a top 20 player plus, an outfielder, whatever it is, average stolen base, something that you need. That is your Fernando Tatis Jr. trade. It's not Fernando Tatis for Anthony Rizzo. That's stupid. You know,
oh, yeah, that's a dumb trade.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm not trading him for nothing, but I would still try to move him. Yes.
Matt Olson and Freddie Peralta. Matt Olson. Okay, but hold on. Matt Olson. Oh, okay. Because Matt Olson is like, you know, 20 homers, top. Yeah. 10 on the season. Freddie Peralta is probably been like the eighth best pitcher all year. He's got 114 strikeouts, a 2.11 ERA. I mean, do you think you can get
that's
that done?
Low
and would
end.
You do it?
That's the low end. Yeah. Yes. You're still talking about dealing the best player in baseball right now in Fernando Tatis Jr. I'm not trading him, like I said, just to trade him, but I think that's the low end. I mean, if I needed a pitcher real bad, I think I might do that trade and redraft for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it covers two different areas. It's first base and pitching.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair, but like I said, that is on the low end.
Okay, I'm not trading Tatis. It's too pretty. Can't
do it. And that's completely understandable. But you know, let's talk in 30 more days and see where he's at that point. So yeah,
it's like Ali. I'm just too pretty. Jonathan Scope coming in at the third most valuable player in the last month. If we're looking at like Yahoo's algorithm and stuff, 11 homers, 25 RBIs, which is tied for homers with Tatis, more RBIs than Tatis, at 356 batting average, and he had one stolen base. So, I mean, he beats Tatis in two of the categories, but you know, whatever. It's not meant to be that. It's just to show you how good Jonathan Scope has been, at least over the last 30 days.
Scope has this sometimes. I don't think he's usually up to three, but he's got enough pop in his bat to where when he goes on these home run hitting streaks, he's unbelievably valuable. And there's only one guy between hitters and pitchers that is lower owned than him. It's Steven Duggar at 27%, and he's at the bottom of this list too. He ranks 14. Scope ranks 3 over the last 30 days. But Scope has been unbelievable, and we're also going to talk about him in the pickups because he's been adding a lot of this that he's been doing is over the last 2 weeks.
Now, if you do add Sunday, because Sunday he put up like an 0-for-5, he dropped down to the fifth overall, the fourth hitter, and you have Matt Olson, who we just talked about, jump up, who's technically number 4. 7 homers. He had 3 stolen bases in this last month, 356 batting average, a 437 OBP. And he picked up one of those stolen bases on Sunday. So that wouldn't be on your marker. That was not counting Sunday. And then obviously Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has been up there. And, you know, I've ran into, it'll be really fascinating to see what people think, the dynasty ranks, which are going to be updated in about a week. You know, there's been a couple really, really tough ones, Boggs, and Vladimir Guerrero and Shohei Ohtani, who Ohtani on this list, just as a hitter, is number 7 overall. The sticks hitter, 10 homers, 5 stolen bases, 304 batting average over last month. Those two in versus, trying to think of how to say this, taking those two and then pitting them up against, like, let's say like a Mike Trout and stuff like that, and Bo Bichette and Trey Turner, I found it very difficult, but I've also, I feel like, gone on the aggressive side for those two. Because if you look at Dynasty, the hope is if you do it like really right, you don't have a completely different top 10, you know, in 4 months than you had before. But I have always been, I was the most aggressive on Ohtani in Dynasty than anybody. Like, people would question where I had him in Dynasty preseason, because I had him in like the top 20. And he's moved inside the top 10, and Vlad is easily inside the top 10. But like, comparing Vlad and Ohtani versus Mike Trout, like, just asking you, like, how do you see that? How do you value that? Because both younger than Trout. Trout has the injury stuff, but he's Mike Trout.
Right. Well, I mean, I think Vlad is the safest of those guys because he's, you know, gonna last. But you can poke holes in all these guys, right? I think Trout is the age and the fact that he doesn't steal bases anymore. So you can put those, I mean, those are the two knocks against him. For Vlad, there are a lot of people that still, even though he lost a decent amount of weight, still fear him, you know, packing it back on Josh Naylor style and, you know, being out of baseball sooner than he should be because of his body. And then Ohtani doing both things, you know, people are afraid that the pitching is just going to wreck him because he'll need surgery again. But even at that point, this is why I think Ohtani might be the safest of them all. It is, if he does screw with the pitching and he blows out his arm again or whatever, then I think that's it for pitching for him. He's done. Then they'll just use
him
as a hitter.
How would you rank it in Dynasty then? Trout, Vlad.
Ohtani, Vlad, Trout.
Oh, so Trout's under all of them.
Trout's under both of them because of the age. The age difference is just too big. So,
yeah, well, he's going to be back soon. He's going to remind everybody who Mike Trout
is. He is, but he quit stealing bases. Like, if it's still in there, like the ability for him to steal bases is still in there. I think, I just don't know how much they're going to do it, especially when they've already lost him. You know, a strained hamstring for him would just be devastating. So I think they'll just hit and play the outfield. That's all they want him to do.
Some other interesting names that popped up here. So again, the Sunday versus like today, it looks a little bit different, but they're in the general range. Carlos Correa was the 4th going into Sunday, best offensive with 8 homers.
Now this is, I did this after midnight, so it should be right.
It's not. Cause okay. I go on it right now, unless I picked a weird random, you know what? I may have picked a weird random league. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I may have been on the Bogman League. Let me take a look here.
Go to the Champs League. That's what.
Yeah.
I
that's exactly what I just did. Let's see, 30 days. Let's see what you look like. What you look like? Actually, you want to know? Yeah.
I waited until after midnight to do this.
It did look like it changed a little bit because Jonathan Scope ranked better than Tatis Jr.
Oh, does he really?
So it's just by a tiny bit. So
I see that, yeah.
A couple interesting ones in here. Carlos Correa was 4 overall with 8 homers. He had more runs and RBIs than Tatis or Scope or anything like that. 25 runs, 26 RBIs over 30 days with a 367 batting average, and of course 0 stolen bases. So that's kind of like a big name guy that shows up there. An absolute pop up, and I still just, like, I don't even know what you do it with it, but Kyle Schwarber, absolutely insane. 6 overall with 14 homers in the last 30 days. That's won every other game, pretty much. 28 RBIs, 19 runs, a 277 batting average. One of the biggest pop-up 30-day markers probably anybody's had all year.
Yeah, I mean, this stretch that he's had is incredible. And I picked him to hit a home run today. We'll see if he does it. But, you know, I am really happy. I grabbed Schwarber in a lot of leagues because I was just looking for late power.
So you've always been a Schwarber guy. It was always that whole, like, Kepler, Schwarber, and who was the other guy that we would put in there? Kepler, Schwarber. There were like these three power guys.
That Sanoa, probably.
Might have been. Yeah, and I hate Sanoa.
Because I drafted Sanoa a bunch too, and he's been hitting recently as well. Not as well as Schwarber, obviously, but he's been hitting since coming off the IL a little bit. And, you know, I have both those guys in some leagues. And in those leagues, my teams are popping off right now. I'm gaining some standings.
I think
the Roto League. I keep floating. I can't break first. I keep floating between 2 and 5 in our entry Roto League. So
I know I'm in like 5th or 6th in that one. And I was in first for a bit, and then I've just been floating between 5 and 6. I need to have like a major push, but I think I've also had just devastating injuries in that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, exactly. But Schwarber, I mean, you know, if you waited on him to come around, it's right now. I mean, the shoe's going to drop at some point. And hopefully someone else on your team picks up the slack, but he's on an incredible run right now.
Yeah, he's hitting 295 against fastballs right now, and he's seeing them a little bit less this year than in previous years. But, I mean, teams are just going to stop. They're going to stop throwing. They got to stop throwing him fastballs as much as possible, because that is where he's making all of his money. 16 of his, 20-something homers are against fastballs this year.
And he's the lowest average of this group, too, at 277 over the last 30 days, but he also has 3 more homers than the next guy, 14 over 30 days, where the next closest guy is 11.
So. And he's red across the board as far as like some of the hard hit stuff. He's top 10% of the league in ex-WOBA. Hard hit is top 10%. Also ex-WOBACON, and his ex-slugging is top 7%. Max EV is top 1% of the league. So he's absolutely destroying the ball. He's seeing it pretty well. But the thing he's still not doing is hitting anything but fastballs. He's hitting 158 against breakers and 200 against off-speed stuff. And that accounts for 45% of what he sees right now. So the league will start adjusting, but it doesn't mean he's not valuable. He's just one of those guys you got to write that. Like, there's no inherent trade value. I don't, even after what he did, unless someone wants to pay you for elite power, is you ride that and hopefully it boosts your counting stats. And, you know, maybe you don't have as quick of a trigger finger because of how freaking hard he is hitting the ball and how better he seems to be seeing it. But if the league does have a pretty drastic change on him and how they're pitching accounts and stuff like that, you're going to see him, come back down. Cause you know, you can't just eat on fastballs in this league.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work like that. Ronald Acuna shows up here. Number 7, he's up there. 10 stolen bases in the last 30 days, with 287 batting average. But here's some interesting names that popped up. Jose Altuve, 11 homers and 29 runs with a 279 batting average and 1 stolen base. Altuve back a little bit?
Yeah.
In your mind? I mean, he's obviously been back, but I'm saying like perception of Altuve. Are we getting like old school Altuve stuff where he's up to 17 homers, a couple stolen bases, and Yahoo has him in standard 5x5 as a top 25 player?
Yeah. I mean, I think he has to be, you know, and I know that, you know, I think he was banged up a little bit last year too. And that kind of, I think we had the overcorrection in the offseason for him, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make. So I say, yeah, he's back. And if you got him, if you drafted him this year, it was definitely at a deal, and good on you for getting him.
Yeah, and he was one of the good like second base deals you were getting post 100. And he kind of became a target for a lot of people, and he's paying off. But the bigger names, you also have Bo Bichette, who was 13th, had 5 stolen bases, hit .308. But the names that jump out to you, Cedric frickin' Mullinsbogs, 7 homers, 6 stolen bases with a .337 batting average was 10. Brian Reynolds, 8 homers, 25 RBIs with 2 stolen bases, a .347 was 11th. And Steven Duggar, 3 homers, 6 stolen bases, a .338 batting average was 14th. Only 27% owned. All those other guys, Brian Reynolds is 79%, but they're all heavily owned. But Mullins, Reynolds, Duggar, all outfielders putting up just, you know, league-winning stuff that were probably just solid little pickups off of the wire at some point this year for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Reynolds, you know, Reynolds is kind of pulled away as far as who the all-star for the Pirates is going to be. That's going to be him. I mean, I still have no idea who the Diamondbacks all-star is going to be.
There isn't one. I'm telling you, there just isn't.
Yeah. Well, they gotta take somebody.
No.
I mean, that's the rule. They gotta take somebody.
No, they can't.
That's not the rule anymore because you said so.
I'm saying so.
Are you stone cold right now? And that's the bottom line.
Because Welsh cold said so.
I mean, all right. I mean, they're going to take someone, but I don't know, man. It's ugly right now for us, but I mean, great for Brian Reynolds. You know, he's been incredible. He's got to get traded. I mean, you know, he's definitely going to move. He ain't going to be on the Pirates much longer.
Name me one Diamondback that can make it.
David Peralta.
All right, Bogman. All right.
I mean, I'm just being a Homer fanboy for him now. I mean, they're all terrible. I'm not saying that there's a good one to pick.
It's us.
Yeah, send us.
We've gone through enough. We've gone through more than the team. They should send us to throw out the first pitch.
We'll be the injury replacement for Tom Brenneman.
Do you think I could strike out a Diamondback?
Or Bob Brenly? How about that?
You think at this point I could strike out a Diamondback with my cutter?
There's got to be one.
There's definitely one. Like who? I mean, Eduardo. I could strike out Eduardo.
Your cutter is so bad. It's not so good.
It's so good. Except it's really I'm telling not. You, if I throw, I will blow up my arm. Like I can feel it in my elbow. Like it's definitely so. When I throw it one time, I'm gonna give the movement.
It's Tanaka can feel it in their elbow every time they pitch. I've always compared you guys
and Glass.
You and Tanaka, right?
We have a lot of similarities. Me and Tanaka.
100%. Right.
But the Steven Duggar one, very, very interesting. A couple other bats that just popped up that I'm looking. Miles Straw, 6 stolen bases, 91 at bats with a .330 batting average.
You're just getting over the last 30. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, and he was someone that, you know, you saw the stuff, but it was kind of a fade, even though it was like the cheap stolen bases. But he's the epitome of that cheap stolen bases. A guy that's going to be on his way out pretty soon, but he continues to freaking hit is Adam Frazier. Adam Frazier, I think, is still your league leader in hits.
Well, between him and Reynolds for the Pirates All-Star. You know what? How about this?
It's got to be Frazier.
They send two Pirates. I think it's Reynolds because of the power that he's had over the last month. But why don't you send two Pirates and no Diamondbacks? How about that?
I think it's a great idea. I think that's fair. They've played better. They don't deserve to be up there. J.P. Crawford continues on his run. 4 homers, 2 stolen bases, .336 over the last 30 days. He's inside the top 35. He's actually 35th on this algorithm. Ahmed Rosario inside the top 50 with his multiple shortstop and outfield qualifications. 3 homers, 3 stolen bases. Cronenworth up there inside the top 50. 7 homers, no stolen bases, .284. And Marcus Semien cooling down, but he's still up there with the 5 homers, 1 stolen base, .271. But he has cooled off quite a bit. I also see Patrick Wisdom is on here, but that's got to be the carrying.
Speaking of
the
cooling off, yeah. I mean, yeah. I know that I think he went yard again over the weekend or whatever. And, you know, fastest Cubs player to 10 homers in history and all that
stuff.
But, you know, I mean, let's pump our brakes on Patrick Wisdom for sure.
Cool, bro. Pitchers, Jacob DeGrom, you're number one because he's number one for everybody.
You know, that's just so insane that Jacob DeGrom is number one over the last 30 days when he had like 2 starts skipped. You know, he kept getting pushed back and he kept having injuries, but it's like, you know, the one start where he went 3 innings pitched and he struck out 8, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we're talking about with him. It's just unreal right now.
Can I ask, is Jacob DeGrom the Mike Trout of pitching in our era? You know how like we talk about Mike Trout in the vein of like, this is one of the greatest all time. We're lucky. We underappreciate how good he is. He is next level. And maybe people have made this claim like so much, but like, are we talking about like that he is in that same vein of Mike Troutness of like how long he's done this and he is MVP? I mean, how much do we talk about pitchers being MVP? Every year he pitches, he is a viable MVP candidate. And the difference is the dude's actually getting like wins this year. He's got 7. Is that a career high?
Who was it might be, but who was the last pitcher that we talked about as far as this regard? Probably Kershaw when he was hitting his, you know, his prime, like during shaky cam pick and all that stuff. Like,
shaky cam pick, by the way, this weekend. I was trying to show someone a picture of something. I remember it was, and I was going back on like old pictures, and then I was on like my Google photo thing, and I went through and I saw me and shaky cam Kershaw, and I was like, there's my dude.
You know, it's funny because the same stuff was going on with Kershaw too, because he would always have the back stuff and maybe he'd skip a start here, but he would make the next one. You know what I mean? That's kind of what's going on with DeGrom too.
You want to know,
even those best pitchers are on shaky ground.
I don't know if you realize this, but like they're the same age.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
DeGrom is like, or I'm sorry, Kershaw's like 3 months older than him. They're the same age, but DeGrom,
they just hit their peaks at a different time.
Yeah. Sure. They sure did. It's just, I mean, again, it's not like, ooh, look at that statement. Like everybody thinks that DeGrom's the best pitcher, you know, probably in the last 20 years and stuff, but he's at that Trout level where it's like, it's magical what we're doing, especially age-wise, what he's doing. And he's that one guy. I found it really tough. Like I came into the preseason having Bieber over him due to age, but DeGrom is so uniquely incredible that he bucks all those trends. Literally the only thing you're up against is his age at this point. And that's right. Why I don't even know how to value him. I think he's impossible to value because wherever you value him in Dynasty, he's worth more to the win now guy. He's worth right. more than the perceived value. He's more worth it more than any other pitcher. But then you start comparing him against, you know, some of the bats in that range, and he's just going to be worth more in trades to a win now person that they should give. They should, there's almost nothing they should be able to hold back from you. Like, you're not going to trade Tatis and Acuna and stuff, but I would legit be like, can you make a crazy, crazy case that you can't trade Vlad Jr. for DeGrom? I understand what you'd say, age and blah, blah, blah. I get all those. Yeah. And I'm with you, but like,
no, I think in certain contexts that can be more than a fair deal. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about pitchers in this regard before. Remember when Johan was on his crazy run of just being absolutely unstoppable? Justin Verlander was unstoppable for like a long time.
Verlander, you know what? That's a good one. Verlander is
even Bumgarner. Bumgarner is more of a in real life than a fantasy guy because he would do his damage in the World Series and the playoffs and stuff. But we've had guys in this same breath, but I think DeGrom is doing it better than any of those other guys. We just, you know, once again, kind of like Clayton Kershaw, we have to wait for those injuries. And is this start going to get skipped and all that stuff?
Kevin Gausman, 17th overall, but the number two pitcher, 1.41 ERA, 36 strikeouts with 3 wins in the last month, a 0.59 whip. Number one reliever, we were talking about this in during trade week with that just horrific trade, because Liam Hendricks is the number three pitcher in a 5x5 standpoint because he had 10 saves in the last 30 days with 20 strikeouts, even had a couple wins. Is that right? 10 saves? Is that real?
Yeah.
Real
life, bro? I mean, yeah. The White Sox have been playing pretty well. So
1.93 ERA, a 0.5 whip, and absolutely dominant. Probably also one of the reasons on the weekend we had the In This League ITL and Sports Grid, our radio show, we looked at future bets for division winners and all that type of crap. And the White Sox were like minus 300 to win the Central.
I think it was crazy.
It was crazy. Because, it was some crazy.
Well,
number.
It's only them and Cleveland that are in it. And Cleveland, I think, is like 4 games back of Chicago. So it looks like Chicago has the easiest path to the playoffs of any team in baseball right now.
And they were the worst bet, like at least from an odds perspective, for getting to the World Series too. They were like minus, I want to say maybe they were like plus 100 or something, but like everybody else was good.
It
numbers.
Was a really low plus. Yeah. Everyone else was like plus 700. They were like plus 250 or something.
And I think, you know, it's incredible that they're doing that without all the bats that they've lost. You know, we know Robert's out here with his Lambo, and him and Eloy are out in Arizona specifically.
All right. Cause they're going to trade for some Fogo power and Eduardo Escobar. Ask Boob Nightingale.
That's right. Yeah. Boob's got it. And you're going to add a couple more bats. They've got the best reliever in baseball, you know, as of recent, and they've got a pretty good rotation. You know, Giolito's still getting it done. Lynn is still relatively elite. So, you know, the value of Hendricks is kind of through the roof right now, especially if you start adding in some of those pieces. I mean, Nick Madrigal's done, but you can get Eloy and Robert back in a decent amount of time for them to keep going. Freddy Peralta, who we mentioned, was the fourth best pitcher, coming in 1.44 ERA, 38 strikeouts with 3 wins. Another interesting name, Desclafani, number 5 here.
This must, his 10 earned run blow up against the Dodgers must have been like 31 days ago or something, because that was kind of recent against the Dodgers. But yeah, he's been good. This might change because he's got the Dodgers again tonight. So we'll see.
This did change quite adjust. A bit. This did change quite a bit, though, as I'm looking on here. Like, he's pretty further down the list over the last. Oh, I'm looking at season totals. He's actually really high on season totals, too. Yeah, he was actually number 4 on the list during that time. And one of the reasons why the freaking Giants, man, are unbelievable. I think I saw Bubba post in that half season projections had the Dodgers essentially going the Giants going 500 the rest of the year and would leave them at like a 90 something win season. And it is legit 85% thanks to Gausman and Desclafani and what they've been doing this year. And look, we just talked about two Giants pitchers, Desclafani and DeGrom, in the top 5 pitchers over the last month.
That's best record in baseball, the Giants. And I have to hear that every goddamn night from Bubba, and it drives me crazy. So
take a night off. Shamania has been really good. Bogman's boy, Giraffe Neck. 3 wins, 34 strikeouts, a 1.13 ERA, a sub-1 whip. Craig Kimbrel,
another reason why I'm doing good in some of those leagues, and this is why you're doing good in some of them.
A reason I'm still alive in things is that, what was the shares again? 90% of my league shares?
Yeah, I think we had 11 leagues and you had them in 9 or something.
I had them in 13. We played 11. Yeah. I had them in 13. Craig Kimbrel, who was able to close out this is what I've been meaning to say. I got one no-hitter, technically, because the Cubs no-hit the Dodgers.
Yeah.
And Kimbrel saved it out.
I think we're going to put so much respect on that combined. No, we're going to put as much respect on that combined no hitter as you did before the combined no hitters. I know if I wanted to, I could go back and clip you saying that combined no hitters are stupid and don't count maybe 100 times.
I mean, technically,
I never do the legwork for it, but yeah. Okay.
I'm just saying Kimbrel closed out the Cubs no hitter. I still have like 3 more days to get one more no hitter. It's very viable. So if a no hitter happens before July, lunch and dinner's on Bogman. Otherwise,
hold your breath.
It's going to be a pretty big Olive Garden trip.
I'm going to be pretty nervous over the next. Yeah, we should bring Jag. I'll just get a mountain of fettuccine Alfredo. Just like I'll have one small hill of that.
Garcon.
Yeah. I look like Hedonism Bot from Futurama. Like,
Jag, I would waiter, like you to feed me breadsticks.
Yeah,
please.
He's just like I'm a dolphin. He's just feeding me like the fish, you know.
That would be a breadstick. Great video, by the way. We should probably, you know what I think? We might have to live stream on Patreon our trip to Olive Garden for that.
By the way, I thought my buddy sent me a post from this. I think it's called Middle Class Fancy. It's like this white trash Instagram account. And I sent you, it was one of the funniest. It said, "This is beyond science." And it was someone had cut a Garden breadstick and put a hot dog in it. And I was like, that looks so amazing.
It looks so gross, though. A hot dog in that breadstick. I mean, maybe it would be amazing. Just like the thought was amazing. But the look of like a hot dog in a breadstick,
it's
like that.
It's just like the best white trash type of meal you can imagine. I mean, that's like, trash. That's, you know, and that's why Middle Class Fancy like that. That thing has so many great posts. You're going to be getting a bunch more of those from me.
Well, maybe soon. If there's ever been a reason to sign up on Patreon, maybe we will live stream that. You know, people are out there live streaming their ranks. They're live streaming video games. We're live streaming eating at Olive
Garden.
I'm
going to be over here drinking white wine and going, I apologize for nothing.
I apologize for nothing. I love it. So they have been amazing. Craig Kimbrel's been amazing. And I still have a couple days here. Also, Josh Hader on the list, 8 saves, as Kimbrel both had 8 saves.
Both had 0 ERAs too. Just not nuts. A run allowed in the last 30 days. That's
and
nuts.
Brad Hand is on that list with 8. He had a 1.32 ERA, 8 saves, a couple wins. Last couple pitchers.
I got an offer for trade week the OG Dynasty League from our guy Jesse Severe for Brad Hand. He wanted Alec Thomas or somebody else from my minor league system. So can I do that? It's a fair offer, I think. But can I trade Alec Thomas for a closer?
Are you, you're like fifth. Competing?
Yeah, I'm in 5th or 6th. I'm somewhere in that. I know 8 make the playoffs, so I'm somewhere in that range. What do you think of that offer?
I think, low? I think it's classic Jesse. I think it's what you asked for, but I think it's, but here's the thing. I think you have to ask for that for a top closer. The problem is if you compare all those guys, you know, he doesn't have the age on his side, but I don't know. I think it's close ish. I think maybe you have to come off and you have to sell a little bit less than Alec Thomas, because I think
Alec Thomas or Jordan Walker, those were the two. He threw.
See, that's there. Tough because maybe Jordan Walker, but Jordan Walker is rocketing up ranks. I have Thomas higher than Walker, but Walker is a total dude right now. Every time he hits a ball, it's 110. And I said on Prospect One, the end of the year, he might be a top 30 overall prospect. So both of those guys are kind of tough. If you were desperate and you needed to make it happen, yeah, maybe.
I just don't know if you're ever in a spot where you're desperate for a closer. I mean, you probably are, but I just don't know if I'm in that spot. That's all.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I'm wishy-washy on those. Those are two big asks.
I do need a closer. I mean, because my closers in that league are, it's one of the few leagues where I don't have them.
And it's a dynasty because you get to hold on to him for a little bit. Yeah, it's not like it's true. You know, like a limited amount of keepers or something.
Right,
but
right.
I'd love to get like a little bit more in help now if I was to trade one of those guys. A couple starting pitchers in the last 30 days. Walker Buehler, 4 wins. You got Framber Valdez, who's been really good. 4 wins, 31 strikeouts, a sub-1 whip. Tyler Molly, 4 wins, 49 strikeouts. Has been
in 34 innings. I mean, that's like Jacob DeGrom territory, because Jacob DeGrom is 48 strikeouts in 33 innings. You know, the ERA is obviously much higher for Tyler Molly, 3.71 versus a 1 whip, but top 50 player over the last 30 days. He's been great.
A couple others you can throw in there as I've got the top 30 days up. You've also got Yusei Kikuchi, who's continued to just kind of stockpile a pretty good season. We were pretty rough. Did we hear from Jack, by the way? Did Jack stop listening to us? Or did we get any follow-up on the Kikuchi stuff?
I think he might have sent one into the ball bag.
Okay, good. So we'll tackle that in the next episode. But we were rough on the value in Kikuchi, but he has been good. There's no denying that. And he's got Toronto this week, though. But he has been in the top 25 pitchers over the last month. 2.08 ERA, sub-1 whip, 3 wins, and he's got a 3.3 ERA on the season with 87 strikeouts. Kyle Gibson, I hate seeing Kyle Gibson up here doing that business, but he just does it. He just went 7 over the weekend and struck out 10.
He has like a million quality starts in a row, Kyle Gibson does. I dropped Jesus Luzardo in a 10-man league to pick up Kyle Gibson, because that's just where we're at with Kyle Gibson right now.
I guess that's just the season that we're at. So there's a couple pitchers for you. This is just a little look. Like I said, we like to occasionally look at the stats, get you some guys, especially they're surprising. You know, also I'm looking here, Robbie Ray, 43
Dude, Robbie
strikeouts.
Ray is rocking this year. I mean, it's everything we thought he was going to do last year. Yep. He's doing this year, fixed with the Blue Jays. So he's another dude that's having a great season.
43 strikeouts, 2.51 ERA. Tarek Skubal has more strikeouts than Robbie Ray over the last month. 6 more innings, but 45 strikeouts with 3 wins. He has been a very, very pleasant surprise. Him and Casey Mize kind of together.
I'm surprised to see he only has 4 quality starts, Skubal.
Yeah, going deep into games. Yeah, if I'm looking. But see, here's the goofy thing. Over the last, it might have been a run situation, but his last 6 starts, he's gone 6 4 times. But before that, I think that's been the run. Yeah, he only went 6 in his prior to this. His previous 5 games, he only went 6 once. So it's just, you know, rookies going deep into games, and he's still sporting a high ERA. Some other, you know, Taiwan Walker, Joe Ross has been pretty good. That's popped up there. Wade Miley has been in. So, you know, some decent pitchers that are inside the top 100 over the last 30 days. Just for
is Wade Miley's no hitter even in that last 30 days?
No, I don't think so. He's just been pretty good.
Yeah. So he's just a Swamp Thing, been pretty solid. Put some respect on his name, Welsh.
He's Wade your arch nemesis, though.
Well, yeah, he is. So, well, he's more Swamp People than Swamp Thing, but yeah, I got you. Yeah,
I bet he would love that Twitter account or Instagram account you were talking about. I'll bet you. You know what? Yes. Wade Miley.
He might be running it.
He 100% eats his hot dogs with Olive Garden buns. 100%.
I mean, he's rich enough now to do that. I have definitely delivered Olive Garden to Taiwan Walker too, by the way.
Oh, did you really?
100%. Yeah. He's a great tipper. He's a great tipper. Really.
Good. See, there you go. Now he's having a great year. Karma.
That's it. It's karma.
Tip the Olive Garden guy, Postmates guy, good. You have a great season. It's science. All right, let's go take a look at all the pickups and the waiver transactions and trends and all that nonsense right after this.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey, let's go see who everyone was picking up. I made some bids. I did not win most of them. Ba-da-da-da-da. I did get Andrés Giménez. I had to pick up some catchers in Tout. I got Andrés Giménez. I did pick up Taylor Trammell, who Taylor Trammell had that two-homer game at, you know, deeper TGFBI looking for, some outfield help. But most of the guys that are, you know, flexing in the trends are really not available in most leagues we do. Like Wander Franco, who was the number one picked up player over the last week, went from 35% owned on ESPN to 87%.
And he was 84% last night. So he gained 3% in 10 hours since I've done this. So.
And he got one hit in his last like four games, which is incredible. It'll be really interesting to see if like everything I said was incorrect and he just, you know, does another O for whatever. I mean, you know, hey, if Wander Franco approaches what Kelnick did, where he almost had the all-time, you know, O for streak without a hit and whatnot, like maybe they do send him down. That's not going to happen with him. Like it's just a lot more plate presence. I think he gets right, but it could level out a little bit. You could see some cuts. If he struggles this week, people are going to come off of him and I would swoop his ass up because I still think redraft, he's even going to be good this year. Jake Odorizzi was your number two picked up player over the last week, but I think that was due to he had a two start last week. So I think that was people being able to pick him up on Monday, maybe.
I mean, he was good in his first start, too. So that probably had something to do with it. But he had been miserable before this week. I need him to pick it up because I would love to trade him in three sport for something.
Miserable. Ross Stripling was number three, up to 41% owned. That was just about a 30% ownership change. Kyle Schwarber went from 72% to 94%. Can you imagine in this last week being able to pick up Kyle Schwarber?
I mean, this is my fault that Schwarber has gone nuts because I dumped him in my 10-man league right before he went nuts. But it was a necessary sacrifice because I had him in so many other leagues where
necessary. Is it necessary for me to drink my own urine? No, but I like the taste and it's sterile.
Crazy guy. Rip Torn.
Rip Torn alive or did he die?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we did this last time we talked about him too. Yeah. He's still going. So
no,
I'm pretty sure he's still going. He might have died last year. I mean, but so many people died last year. Obviously,
he died. He died 2 years ago. He died July 9th. Ago. Oh, actually, almost to like we're close to it. July 9th, 2019. Rip Torn.
Did he
rest
really?
In peace.
Okay.
Yeah, he did.
R.I.P.
1931.
R.I.P. Rip. So,
yeah. His real name. Do you want to know his real name is?
Something like Thomas or something, right?
No, Elmore Rule Torn Jr.
I mean, if my name was Elmore, I would go by Rip. Also.
I've never met an Elmore in my life.
No?
Did you got a bunch of Elmores in your life?
Well, I was going to say, what was the glue? It wasn't Elmores. It was Elmers, right?
Elmer. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you met glue. I didn't know you knew glue box.
Is my buddy glue? Right. Yeah. Well,
he doesn't Elmer like was, to be called Elmers.
Elmer was glue. My only friend in kindergarten. So, you know, that was just the way it is.
Glue people like to go by Rip. That's their nickname. So now you know. Yeah. Rest in peace to Rip Torn. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
I don't even remember.
You were to blame. For
I dropped Kyle Schwarber and he went nuts. So it was a necessary sacrifice. So. Because I had him in so many other leagues, and that's what I said the word necessary in front of the Welsh. So he repeated the line from Dodgeball. It's all right. I've got those too. So don't worry about it.
Thank you for your service, Boggs. Thank you for your service. Miles Straw, the number three picked up player, 12 to 30%. That was about a 17.5% ownership. He was number five. Wade Miley, Gary Sanchez, been on a tear, 75% to 89%. Scope was only 71% owned coming into this last week. Now up to only 85, which just seems weird. Wilmer Flores and Steven Duggar was number 10 from 10 to 23% ownership change. I mean, he's one of the best bats in the last month, and people are not speculating on him. Go speculate, dude.
Yeah.
Go speculate.
He's been smashing. I mean, that whole lineup has been pretty good. Wilmer Flores has been hitting well. Posey's back in there. He was a little banged up over the weekend. Brandon Belt, stupid giraffe neck, has been hitting. I mean,
you want to know an interesting one?
It's like, well, Evan Longoria was hitting and he was the only Giant hitting for a while. Yeah. They were just pitching really well. And then Longoria gets hurt. Now the whole lineup is hitting. It's ridiculous.
A guy that's reaffirmed his value, because I was thinking about this, how much he improved like his dynasty stock. And then he like kind of tapered back down a little bit, and everybody was sort of freaking out and being like, oh, it's garbage, was Akil Badu. Akil Badu is, as far as ownership, I think he was an 18th picked up player, only 25% owned. But in the last month, he's hitting .339 in 62 at bats, has four stolen bases and a homer. And on the season, his season totals now, he's got five homers, nine stolen bases, and a .276 batting average. So like, if he were to play and be consistent the rest of the year, he's got a legit shot to be like a 15-20 guy somewhere in there with a decent average and low runs.
He actually hit way better in June as far as average goes. He hasn't hit any homers in June. He has zero homers, but 10 runs, but he's hitting .351. In April, he hit .222 with four homers and then .256. He's just a big splits guy too. Like, you know, lefty righty, he hits .143 against lefty, so just won't play against them. He only has 33 plate appearances against lefties, but he's hitting .304 against righties with 158 plate appearances. Also big at home, .310 versus away, .241. So I think that's just what we're going to see with Badu in his career, at least early, is he's going to not be in there against lefties. And he's going to hit the struggle bus on the road, maybe. So when he's got a nice home stretch coming up or whatever, he's a guy to add even in those borderline leagues. So smaller.
Badu, Badu, Badu. let's see. Top hit, drop players. What was that song?
I couldn't place it.
Patrick Wisdom.
I'm not Shazam.
The number one. Oh, that was a fun app. That was a great app. That's a really good line you just had. Patrick Wisdom, the number one drop player on ESPN, down from 53% to 29%. No one was dropped more. Taking off the injury guys, Robbie Grossman was number two. He's under 50% owned now. Ahmed Rosario, we just talked about like how good he's been over the last 30 days and just consistent.
Empty for him. He's hitting, but yeah, never with anybody on base and all
it's
that.
It's bad
stuff
for points leagues and stuff, but he's under only 41% owned now. He dropped from 56%. That's a 15% change. You also had Tony Gonsolin down to 35%. Yerman is Yerman qualifies at catcher on ESPN, by the way. I don't know if Yerman I even realized rough. That. He's down to 70% owned. What is Yerman?
What is Yerman hitting for June, dude? Yeah, you want to guess? I'm going to look it up.
I'm going to say .210.
.210. All right. So
I'm going to look at the last 30 days, which won't just be June, but
in June, he's hitting .164.
Ooh, last 30 days hitting .132.
He hit .221 in May and .415 in April. So I hope you traded him early.
Hopefully you got what you needed off of him. Domingo Herman is also on there. Pavin Smith keeps getting dropped, but he's still doing some bit. I still say, like, you know, let him be dropped, but be the guy to look to pick him up when things get a little bit better in the day. He's going to move up in the order. As far as CBS goes, the number one picked up players, usually on that pitching front, a lot of points leagues, obviously, you've got Chris Flexen, who was the number one picked up player, Jose Alvarado, Zach Thompson with Miami, Joe Ross, Caleb Smith. The number one picked up offensive player was Miles Straw, who's now 37% owned. Tyon, and we didn't even talk about this, Boggs, Keston Hira up to 45% owned, and Keston dropped a bomb. And since his call-up, he has had hits in three of the four games, two homers, five RBIs, and three runs. Is Keston Hira back?
I mean, I don't want to call him back because you know what happens as soon as you do is he'll get sent back down in the minors because he'll suck for a month.
As soon as I say that, like, you know, you should pick him up if he's sitting out there, and now it's finally, it only took him two send downs to get right instead of that second one where we believed in him. But Keston Hira heating up a little bit, first and second base qualification on Yahoo, and he's going to have, you know, obviously second in so many spots. He is worth the pickup if he is if he's heating up at all. I would be picking him up just to speculate. And then when he goes 0-for-12 with three strikeouts,
drop him. He's at least up to streamer now, is what I'll say. You know, at least up to streamer.
Akil Badu has also jumped up 13% ownership change up to 40%. Kyle Schwarber's 96% and Steven Duggar 30%. So we're kind of focusing on those guys. 30% ownership change from 17 is what he did. As far as most dropped on CBS, The non-injured guys, you have Hector Neris, Ryan Yarbrough, Patrick Wisdom again, Miguel Andujar, and Jesus Luzardo, who we talked about, who's very droppable. And then there's Yermin down to 55% owned on CBS.
Yeah, I mean, Yermin is just rough. He's going to get dumped all over the place.
Yeah. On Yahoo, the most added, you've had Franco, Schwarber, Gary Sanchez, who is now 85% on Jonathan Scope. Adam Duvall, who's just over 50%. He's been
Duvall's hitting a tough one because he is hitting for no average. I think his average this year is like 216 or something, but he is just smashing homers. I mean, it's what he does. It's why I took him at the end of drafts. And he's probably my highest share player because he was just kind of free at the end of drafts. But, you know, so far this year, 16 homers, which is nice, but his batting average is 216. You know, his OBP is 265. We're playing a lot of OBP leagues too. So he's just one of those guys that, like, I have to drop somebody in OG right now because I think I still have Candelario on the IR and he's coming off. And I'm debating between Duvall and like Jake Fraley, but Jake Fraley steals bases. So I can't decide who I want to dump.
No, that's tough. I mean, Duvall's more of a points league guy than anything else, or I guess, you know, OBP or something. Miles Straw, Wilmer Flores, Abraham Toro. Those are some of the hot pickup guys. Pitchers, Odorizzi, Stripling, Wainwright, Sammy Long, Thompson, Corbin, McClanahan, and Flexen. McClanahan only 45%.
McClanahan went like six and struck out nine or something in his last start, didn't he? He was really good.
He's a boss too. He's been a boss and he's been going out. That Wainwright season has been pretty interesting as well. And those are the pickups. Like I said, in some of the waiver leagues, it wasn't a big pickup week as far as even available players were to go. Yeah. Trammell, I preemptively added Andrés Giménez in some leagues. And, you know, for me, it was activating in Tout. I mean, it's just been an atrocious year with injuries. I got to activate Bellinger and bring in Wander.
But I've definitely been doing more of that than ads is, you know, trying to find out who to dump because guys are coming off the IL, which is, you know, it's a double-edged sword of this crazy injury year. And plus, you know, we have more injuries than we've ever had. And
me,
you know,
too. Me, the physical injuries as well. I mean,
also you're breaking stuff, right?
As a big time athlete.
Now how are you going to throw your cutter? You're on the IL. So
I can't have good foot placement. No.
That's exactly right. But I've been having more issues with, you know, who to cut because guys are coming off the IL recently than going to pick up guys. You know, that's been my issue. But that's, you know, more injuries than ever. The IL stints are shorter, so guys are more willing to be placed on the IL too. So it's all adding up into a cluster F of a year as far as injuries go.
And friendos, that is what we got for you today. Just getting you caught up for the coming week. In the next episode, guest-based episode, got to get the guest going. And your questions, so make sure you send them in, itlballbag@gmail.com. We were asking about the Wander trades. Those are out there. And anything else you've got, make sure that you're locked in because we are heading to that halfway point. We're only a couple more weeks till All-Star break where there'll be a little tiny break in there. And all of that, super fun. You've got a lot of dynasty stuff is on the table because of the rookie developmental leagues that are starting up today as we're recording this. And then players are going to have some promotions. So there's going to be a lot of movement around the minor leagues, which is going to get people sparked as well as the draft. So there's lots of stuff to talk about. So make sure you hit us up because it'll be a nice early Thursday episode because I am out of here on Thursday and Friday. However, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm broken. It's like Jordan, though. I'm like Jordan. I'm going to just play through.
Yeah,
like today.
Not going to go get a rascal or anything?
Nope, I played through today. I did this episode. I'm going to play through. I'm not going to cancel that trip. My foot is bruising pretty bad, and it's pretty swollen. It looks pretty gross, but you know
play
what?
Play through.
Feet are gross anyways. Feet are disgusting. My feet are all broken and gross. I looked at my wife after, and I said, you know what? It's a good thing you're not a foot person. I'm like, because I would be your nightmare. All the broken toes. And then she was just like, gross, I hate you. And I was like, okay. All right, so, there you go. Find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ITL Army. Come and sign up. Support the Broken Bones and Bogman's on the move. And maybe be on the lookout for that Olive Garden live stream that we might do.
Right.
But we will have a draft live stream. And we'll have some more secret shows, more live streams in the month, and updates to the Dynasty ranks, which I've been working on over the last couple of days. and weeks, but a little bit even like more hardcore the last couple of days. So we got all those updates for football, baseball, prospect stuff. So come and check us out and have so much fun at patreon.com/ITL Army. Follow us on Twitter at @IsTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, and Google Podcasts hates us again. Apparently we've had multiple people saying that they can't find the podcast on.
You have Google the link though, right? Didn't you tweet it out?
I've tweeted out a whole bunch. I wish I could tell you guys what it is. I have a semi idea, but it just randomly will disappear from the search feed.
Let's see, make like a link tree and maybe put it up somewhere. So
yeah, it's a good idea.
You can have that. So
yeah. And it's just Google Podcasts that has a problem, but if any issues, let us know, because you can find the podcast on all the places, Spotify, iHeart, Google Podcasts, sometimes. So make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss any of it. And you wonder, where the hell are the boys? We're here, right here. It'll be okay. We'll be back with you again on Thursday for the next pod, so make sure you guys are locked in. Thank you guys for tuning in as always, and we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Sawyer.